You're listening to Eaters.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي درود شریف علیه وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, when a person goes to an amil, a spiritual healer, for treatment, and if that is his first appointment, generally what happens is that these spiritual healers want to make an impression upon their clients. They want to make an impression upon their clients. And so what they do is they want to mesmerize their clients by disclosing very personal information about that individual who is there. Very personal information. Generally, in fact, what happens is that a chronology of all the different events that have occurred in their lifetime is divulged for them. So for an example, if somebody comes to you and he looks at you, what happens is that the sheikh, that spiritual healer, that practitioner, the amil, will tell you what's happened to you 10 years ago, what had happened to you 15 years ago, something that happened to you 5 years ago, something that had happened 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And in fact, he might even say that in the morning this happened to you. Subhanallah. Now, what would happen if somebody speaks to you in that language, giving you accurate information, 100% accurate information about your life, that is completely private and personal to you? But you're in this room with this spiritual healer, this amil, this practitioner, and he wants to make an impression, and so he speaks to you by giving you information of all the things that have happened to you in your lifetime. The first reaction would be is that the client would become his murid. The first reaction would be that the client would become his murid. And he would be astounded and just gobsmacked that, subhanallah, this man is a very powerful man. What is he? This man is a very powerful man. Incredibly powerful. And so why is he so powerful? Because he has given me information which is completely private and very, very personal. Not even my wife has this information. This information is personal to me only. Not even my parents, my mother, father know of this. Or family members have this knowledge. Exactly 5 years ago this had happened, 10 years ago this had happened, 15 years ago something had happened to me, in the morning this had happened. And so all 100% accurate information is given to this individual. And so he's a very powerful man. This actually helps that individual to publicize his own image in the community also. And so when this individual, the client, goes out, he'll speak to others that, look, this man is a good man. And why is he a good man? What is he a good man for? Because he disclosed personal information about that individual who was there. Now the question is, my respected brothers, what we need to understand, are there individuals in this world who have knowledge of the unseen? Are there individuals in this world who have knowledge of the unseen? Knowledge of the unseen in the Arabic language is translated as Allamul Ghuyub. Allamul Ghuyub. Or even Alime Ghaib. Allamul Ghuyub or Alime Ghaib. Now, if we look into the lives of Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, most definitely you will find that many of the prophets have spoken on the subject of future. The prophecies given by Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, if we look into the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for an example, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave information of the past, going as far back as Adam alayhi salam. He gave information about Nuh alayhi salam. He gave information about Ibrahim alayhi salam. When they came to him, he gave information about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And so all the information of the past was given by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not only past information, but also information about the future. That Dajjal will come, example. Allah's Nabi has said, Yajuj, Majuj, they will also come. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that Imam Mahdi will come. And so many of the major signs of Qiyamah we are waiting for. Why? Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said this. And so we see that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us information which is related to knowledge of the unseen. Which is related to the knowledge of the unseen. Now, what we need to understand, my respected brothers, is that Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam speak the language of wahi. What do? They speak the language of wahi. And wahi is revelation. Wahi is revelation. This is very important. A prophet from his own, or should I say his own innate condition, or his intrinsic quality that is inside him, for him to have complete knowledge of everything that will occur in this world, that is not even given to Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And so we have to be very, very careful that Allamul Ghuyub is only who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be very careful, my respected brothers. Allamul Ghuyub is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And that is why it is clearly mentioned in many, many verses of the Quran that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of course, when he speaks of future events, that is through revelation. That is through the medium of wahi that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave information to individuals that this will happen, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. And he gave information. He gave information of alamatul kubra, alamatul sugra. He gave information about everything. But this is min janibillah, by revelation. This knowledge was invested into Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, in the prophets, and especially Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But despite that, the title of Allamul Ghuyub can only be given to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that is very, very important for us to understand. No one save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of the unseen. No one has that. And alhamdulillah, that is the firm aqeedah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. That is the firm aqeedah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. Now, at times, of course, what happens is that you will find certain pious individuals, awliyaullah, the friends of Allah, sometimes due to their piety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can inspire a matter in their heart, something in their heart. But even that is not ilm-e-ghaib. That is not ilm-e-ghaib. That is this, in Urdu we would term that as kashf or ilham, an inspiration. What is it? An inspiration. So that is not ilm-e-ghaib. So awliyaullah, due to their piety at times, if sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts something in their heart, that is accepted. But these are isolated incidents. What are they? Very isolated incidents that don't have any kind of an effect upon the aqaid of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. And it would be very, very dangerous if we were to speak in that language that so and so gives information of the unseen, so and so can give information of this, so and so can give information of this. Aliyazu billah, this would be opening up the doors of shirk. And so we have to be very, very careful. Today in our community, my respected brothers, you will find many individuals who do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They come to the masjid, they go for hajj, they have a long beard. Allahu Akbar. But if you look at their aqeedah, and if you look at their belief, subhanallah. They say that falan buzruk, that wali of Allah, if you give your hands to him, he will answer to your questions in the grave. When Munkar and Nakir will question you, who is your Lord? What is your opinion about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And what is your religion? The Shaykh will assist you in your grave. This is the barakat of giving your hands to that Shaykh. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And so we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers and sisters. We have to be very careful. You will find people today who push even, aliyazu billah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have to be very, very careful. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to this ummah that when you praise me, of course you praise me, but don't go to the extreme of praising me, for I fear if Jesus can be the Son of God, if Jesus can be turned into the Son of God, who is even inferior than Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in status, then what about the status of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And so that is why you will see amongst the communities around us that they are too busy in nazam, in na'at, in singing all night, all day, but they will never give education to the community. They will never explain what is the sunnah, what is the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they will want to dance, they will want to sing, they will stand and they will move around flags and do all sorts. Allahu Akbar. But when it comes to core knowledge of following the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see that they are behind. And therefore we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers and elders. Going back to that question of that spiritual healer, of the information that he gives, complete accurate information, inshallah, we will answer that question. But before that, if you look at Surah A'raf, an ayat-i kareema of Surah A'raf. So Surah A'raf is in the 9th para here. Surah A'raf. And in Surah A'raf, ayat number 188. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ. And so قُلْ is an order that is given to who? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is an amr, a command, that O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say it to the people. Now, what am I to say to the people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the information you have to give your ummah. This is the information you have to give to all of the people around you. So what is the information? Qul, say it, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La amliku li nafsi naf'an wala darra. Naf'an wala. Naf'a is an Urdu word. Is an Urdu loves that we also say by there is no nafa. What is no nafa? There is no benefit. There is no nafa. So la amliku. Amlik means to take ownership of. Malik banna. Amlik means malik banna. So Allah is saying, say to the people that I myself, nafsi, I myself have no ownership in matters related to benefit or harm. I myself have no ownership in matters related to benefit or harm. Illa ma sha Allah, except that which Allah wills. Except that which Allah wills. Now here clearly, what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to the people, that never mind awliyaullah having this power to remove calamity from someone or to give him benefit. Listen to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he is saying, that I myself have no power when it comes to a difficulty that is coming to me, benefit or harm that is coming to me, because everything comes from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Taif, where did he go? To Taif. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the very next verse of the ayat, Allah says, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is made to declare, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. If I had known knowledge of the unseen, أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. If I had known knowledge of the unseen, لَسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. Then I would have accumulated a lot of good. I would have accumulated a lot of good. وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءُ. And no evil would have touched me. So if I had known, if I had known of knowledge of the unseen, then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have known that why should I go to Taif? Why should I go to Taif? Because he has the knowledge. So it was his duty to save himself, because his body is an amanat. Every body is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is exactly what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. If I knew of knowledge of the unseen, no harm would have touched me. وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءُ. The people of Taif could not have harmed me. The people of Taif could not have harmed me. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een who were fighting in the battlefield would not have become shaheed. The huffaz that I had dispatched, and all of them were made shaheed, I would have saved them because I know what would have happened. So وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءُ. Allah says, إِنْ أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Say to the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am nothing but a warner and a giver of good news, glad tidings, to a group of people who believe in Allah. لِقَوْمِ يؤمنون. And so clearly here, my respected brothers and elders, this aqeedah is the aqeedah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at. What is it? Aqeedah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at. And so for an example, you will find different people. If you look at the translation written by Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Barelvi, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Barelvi, perhaps the only man from Adam alayhi salam until the day of Qiyamah, perhaps the only man from Adam alayhi salam until the day of Qiyamah that makes a translation of the Quran wherever the word Nabi comes. Ya ayyuhan Nabi, example. Ya ayyuhan Nabi. So obviously his language was Urdu. So the translation of Ya ayyuhan Nabi that he does is A ghaib ki khabar dene wale Nabi. A ghaib ki khabar dene wale Nabi. Now of course we understand that Anbiya alayhim salam have given information that is related to knowledge of the unseen, but this is through wahi. Now, naba'un, the word nabi simply means information. What does it mean? Information. So the duty of a nabi is to give information, to give the message. What is it? To give the message. And so we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers and elders. Don't say that my forefathers were doing this. Don't say that falah masjid, that person talks like that. No. Read the Quran, bhai, for the sake of Allah. Read the Quran, open Surah A'raf, read verse 188. What is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying here? And so Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam have the knowledge of the unseen, only that which Allah allows them to have. And that is through the medium of revelation, wahi. I'll give you one example, my respected brothers and elders. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with thousands of sahaba ikram ajma'in, a lot in numbers that they came with the intention to do umrah. And so of course the people of Makkah said, no, you can't do umrah. And the spokesman for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was who? Hazrat Uthman. Jazakallah. So he was the spokesman for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went into the city of Makkah. And rumors were that the people of Makkah have they done? They've killed Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Allah's Nabi had camped outside Makkah Mukarrama. The rumors were that the mushrikeen of Makkah have killed Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. The Quran says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sat under the tree and he asked all of the companions to come and to do bay'ah, take the oath of allegiance at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to avenge the blood of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an if he was killed. Now, my question is, my respected brothers, if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the complete knowledge of the unseen, then why is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taking an oath of allegiance from his companions? He should of course have that knowledge. No, this is just a rumor. What is it? It's just a rumor. So what sense, what logic would it be? Al-Iyazu Billah, do you think a Nabi would do something that was just to, Al-Iyazu Billah, Al-Iyazu Billah, Al-Iyazu Billah, just to waste time? That was never the case. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did everything under the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the mushrikeen of Makkah came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said to him, and this was under the influence of the Jewish people, so the three questions were asked to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us who is Zulkarnain, tell us with regards to the sleepers of the cave, and tell us who is Khidr alayhi salatu wa salam. Give us information about Khidr alayhi salam. Three questions. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he was Allamul Ghuyub, it was his duty to inform the people immediately. But what did he say? He said to the mushrikeen, that I will soon tell you. When Jibreel Amin will come, I will put the questions forward to him. And when I get the information through Wahi, I will inform you. And so I will tell you shortly. And Jibreel Amin did not come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam for a long period of time. And so the mushrikeen were coming to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By what's happened, we have asked you three questions, there is no answer. There is no answer. What is happening? We want to ask you three questions. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not answer them because there was no wahi. There was no wahi. Only when Jibreel Amin came with Surah Kahf revealed upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all information was given to them. And so here clearly we see, my respected brothers, that Allamul Ghuyub is who? Only Allah. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلْ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will say to the prophets, what did your people answer you? And so all of the prophets will say, لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا. Allah, we have no knowledge. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. Every Nabi will say that you are عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. You are عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. That is why one of the most famous fatwa kitab in the Hanafi fiqh is Fatawa-i Alamgiri. The most famous kitab is Fatawa-i Alamgiri. In Fatawa-i Alamgiri, there is one mas'ala that if a man wants to marry a lady, you have to have how many witnesses? Two. So if a man gets married to a lady, they have to have two witnesses. And if there is no witnesses, and say for an example, a man says that I am getting married to you, a lady. I am getting married to you. And Allah and His Rasul is our witness. Allah and His Rasul is our witnesses. So who is our witness? Allah and His Rasul. So Allah and His Rasul are the witnesses of this nikah. And so now we get married. In Fatawa Alamgiri, the most famous Hanafi fatwa kitab, it is said that if any man says that Allah and His Rasul are the witnesses of this marriage, then that person becomes a kafir. What does he become? That person becomes a kafir. And Qadi Khan and a lot of the scholars actually explain this. And they say the reason why he becomes a kafir is because he has taken Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be alim-e-ghaib. Alim-e-ghaib is only Allah. By making Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam a witness, it means what he is saying, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has the information of this nikah. So he is alim-e-ghaib. And by holding this aqidah, the Muftiyan-e-Izam have given a fatwa that that person is who? A kafir. This is the Hanafi fatwa. Fatawa-i Alamgir. Or if I don't forget, it is page 266, volume 2. Let me be Zakir Naik for 1 minute. 266, volume 2. As far as I remember. The fatwa is in there. Have a look at it. Subhanallah al-Azim. And there is a hadith in Sahih Bukhari where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has mentioned that if any man says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has the knowledge of the unseen, as in she is saying that they make Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam allamul ghuyub, then that person has committed a slander and blasphemy against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that is only the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam give information of the future, that is only through wahi. That is only through wahi, and nobody else knows that. Now going back to that amil, or that person who gave information about that individual, his client, of everything what had happened to him. Everything what had happened to him. How did he know? How did that individual know? Why? Through the Jinnat network. What is it? The Jinn network. Now we need to understand that the jinns have a long life. What is it? The jinns have a long life. And that individual, under him, there are many jinns that work. So what he does is that the jinns already know that there is a line, a queue of people. And very quickly, they collate all the data of that individual through the other jinns that are living close by to that person. So say for an example, if a person is living in the Evington area, what happens is that the jinn network that is there, they give information, oh, this man is 25 years, oh, I remember, this had happened to him, this had happened to him, this had happened to him, this had happened to him. So maybe two or three incidents have been mentioned. A quick visit to the house to see what had happened, how everything is. And if there are other jinns, to just say, bhai, you've been here, how long have you been in this house? Oh, I've been in this house for about 60, 70 years. Where do you live? In the attic. I also play snooker. So you, and remember that every household will have jinns, bhai. It doesn't mean that, you know, they disturb you. So how long have you been in this house? Well, 60, 70 years. Tell me about this man. No problem. This had happened, this had happened, this had happened. Very quickly, within seconds, information is given to that. To that Amil. So when that person comes, the Amil says, ah, bhai, you were about to leave in the morning, you were coming to Bolton. Is that true? Because, huh? You nearly had an accident. Huh? How do you know? Bas, bye. How do you know? And you had an argument with your wife 10 years ago, remember, and you were, and you said to her, one talaq. Yeah, one talaq. You sure it was only one talaq? Yeah, 100%. I told you it's one talaq. And then you had also problems with that family and this family. And so all information is given. And this is through the jinn network. Nobody has information of knowledge of the unseen. Nobody. If Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Anbiya alayhi musallatu wa sallam are denied this attribute of being Allamul Ghuyub, then who are these individuals? Who are these amils? Or these spiritual healers. And so this is just a game, and we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. Please, if you want treatment, go to an amil, but make sure that that amil is also an alim. What is it? That amil is also an alim. Believe me, if he is an alim, inshallah ta'ala, he will be a good individual. He will be a good individual. Otherwise, this is now a money-making organization. Otherwise, this is now a money-making organization. So be very careful. What they do is that they will throw their own jinn inside you. They will throw their own jinn inside you. So just if I hold your fingers, please. So now I have my own jinn. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with Idris. But I want to make business through him. Because he's a rich man. Right? So what I do is, I ask my jinn to go inside him. And so now my jinn goes inside. And all of a sudden now, Idris starts to say things. And he starts to scream. And I'm squeezing his finger. And the family members are looking. And they say, Idris had a jinn for so many years, we didn't even know. And then, you know, everybody says, oh, Maulana Sahib, you know, thank you. Eh? You took the jinn out. Yeah, it's gone out. And so, the jinn now, it's my own jinn, and I'm playing fools with you, and I take the jinn out, and it's gone back. So this is just another game. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us, my respected brothers, and that is the truth. And there's proof of that. There was a man in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even before Nabuwat was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Jahiliyyah, before Nabuwat was given, his name was Sawad. His name was Sawad. He was a very big amil of the time. People would fear him. It is said that he had a jinn network and the jinns were under him. And he had accumulated a lot of wealth. And so before Nabuwat was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this man had acclaimed fame and people knew him. It is said that the jinns would ascend to the heavens And they would eavesdrop to the conversations of the malaika. And whatever the angels would speak, so for example, it would rain there, that person will die, there would be an earthquake there, in Arabia this will happen, this will happen. So they would quickly steal information from the malaika, which are from at the lowest heavens. And what would happen is that then they would come down and give information to their masters, who were the soothsayers and the fortune tellers. And so then he would give information to the locals. And then in return they would give him wealth. They would give him wealth. And so like that this man became very, very rich. So he himself would say became very rich. And so Sawad says that one night I went to sleep. So my personal jinn came to me in the night and said, wake up, wake up, wake up. I woke up, said, what is the matter, the jinn? He says, don't sleep, wake up, be conscious. I said, what's the matter? He says, don't you know that in Makkah Mukarrama, a Nabi has come who is amongst the children of Lu'ay bin Ghalib. Lu'ay bin Ghalib is one of is the name of one of the forefathers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Lu'ay bin Ghalib. So don't you know a Nabi has come in Makkah Mukarram? So stand up. And then he read some couplets in Arabic in front of his sheikh. He said that, I know that the jinns who have embraced Islam at the hands of this Nabi, they are much better than the unclean jinns. They are much better than the unclean jinns, as in those that, jinns that were non-Muslims. And so Hazrat Sawad says that when he said this to me, I became restless in the night. So my jinn went away. Second night again the jinn came, again didn't let me sleep. What are you doing, wasting your time? Don't you know that the jinns have also accepted him as a Nabi? And more jinns are accepting him as a Nabi. So what are you doing? I became restless again. Third night again the jinn came and woke him up. And Sawad said the fourth day I made preparation. Allah's Nabi was in Makkah Mukarramah. He was in Medina Munawwara. So he traveled to Makkah Mukarramah. A wealthy man. And that is how he got his money. That is how he got his money, through a network of jinns. And when he got to Makkah Mukarramah, he said to the people that were there, that take me to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they took him to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi was sitting there. And Allah's Nabi greeted him. Never mind your jinns, never mind your jinns. Look at the knowledge of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi said to him, Sawad, I know why you have come to me. I know why you have come here to me from Medina Munawwara. I know the reason that the jinns have disturbed you to come here and you want to embrace Islam. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to embrace Islam. And so he became a Muslim. He embraced Islam at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, my request to you is that you intercede for me on the day of Qiyamah. You intercede for me on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that from that individual. But this man was a man who had a very strong network with the jinns. And so you will find a lot of individuals, my respected brothers, not necessarily just Muslims, you will also find the Hindu community, Hindus, you'll find amongst the Christians, that they also have a network with the jinns. And so these jinns are non-Muslim jinns. But we have to be very careful, my respected brothers, who we go to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we understand that if any man speaks to you and gives you information about your private matter and your private life, before you become his murid, do istikhara. Do istikhara. But saying all that, my respected brothers, you will find many, many pious people and very sincere, good individuals who are out there to give good treatment to individuals also. But unfortunately, you'll find that a lot of them are just out there for money. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.